Let's pray together, please. Our God and Father, we come before you this morning, pleading only the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless your name that you sent him into the world, that he was born of a virgin made under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we would receive the adoption as sons. We bless your name, Lord, that it is by the preaching of Christ and him crucified that you effectually call your elect to saving faith in him and repentance unto life, and that you grant to us that sense of brokenness, that sense of mourning over the depth of our own sinfulness, our own wretchedness in your sight. And you also do that glorious and wonderful work of renewal in our hearts. And you change the heart of stone to a heart of flesh that longs to obey, that longs to be righteous, that longs to walk in your ways and in your truth. And we thank you for all those precious gifts to us. And yet, Lord, when it comes to our standing before you and our acceptance in your sight, we don't plead our sanctification. We don't plead how thoroughly we've put sin to death. We don't plead works that we've done. We look solely, completely, and only to Jesus, whose shed blood alone forgives us of all of our sins, and whose life of righteous obedience is indeed the very righteousness by which we stand justified and acquitted before you. We look as if we had perfectly kept your laws and commandments our whole life, from conception until death, because Jesus was treated by you at the cross as if he had lived our lives of disobedience. And so we look to the imputation to our legal account of the active obedience of Jesus Christ to the Ten Commandments, his whole life of law-keeping, his whole life where there was no covetousness, no idolatry, never took your name in vain, never violated or forgot the Sabbath day, never murdered another person in his heart, never stole from anyone, never committed adultery, never coveted, never had a moment, not even an instant, of discontentment in his entire earthly existence. It is that beautiful, pristine, white robe of perfect righteousness which is ours before you. Perish the thought that we would ever trust in the fruits of our faith, that we would ever trust in our sanctification process, that we would ever trust in that which is still mingled with enough sin to be the very grounds of our damnation. And so, Lord, we look to Jesus as our Savior, as the one who suffered vicariously for us, as we will be remembering together in the Lord's Supper here this morning, his shed blood and his life of righteousness, his body and blood, given in behalf of and in the stead and place of us at the cross, so that we would never know your wrath. We would never have to drink even a drop of that cup that would not pass from him, even when he asked if there was any other way that it could. And so, Lord, we look to Jesus not as a helper, a coach, or a therapist, but as a substitutionary Savior, as the one who alone has met the requirements of your holiness and your law in our place. And Lord, we bless your holy name for that glorious gospel message. And may that glorious gospel message never be confused or made ambiguous or be mingled at all with human works, as Paul, your great apostle, reacted with incredible indignation and wonder and anger when he said to those Galatian churches, "You foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Having begun by faith, are you now going to get into heaven by your works?" He says to them, "Are you so foolish? Did I not clearly portray Christ to you as crucified?" He says to us, he says to the whole world, "I solemnly testify to you, if you receive circumcision, if you trust in anything other than Christ, he will be of no benefit to you. And you are a debtor to keep the whole law." So, Father, as Christians, we're not rigid. We simply believe what your word teaches. We simply believe those wonderful apostolic letters, those glorious promises of salvation. In him we have forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Lord, help us remember If our reliance shifts at all away from Christ or is mixed with anything other than Christ, as your word teaches us, grace is no longer grace. If it is by grace, it is not by works. Otherwise, grace is not grace at all. So, Lord, we look to Christ by faith alone. We lay hold of him alone, and our confidence rests upon him and his life and nothing else for our full entrance into heaven. So, Father, we bless your name as those who have been redeemed by Jesus to be able to be your worshipers, to gather here together, to sing your praises together, and to study your word together, and to worship you in that way. Lord, there's no place you'd rather be. As many of us have burdens and issues and things we've brought in here with us that cause us anxiety, that cause us to lose sleep, that seem to be constant burrs in the saddle and rocks in our shoes and thorns in our side. And yet, Lord, we are truly blessed who have Jesus Christ by faith. We are truly blessed. We have the true riches that the world knows nothing of because we know you through Christ. Lord, we pray for the growth and the expansion of your kingdom in the world, that the gospel would go forth in power, that lost sinners would be brought to a practical conviction that they are lost and helpless and undone in their sins, that glorious gospel of a free salvation by belief alone, and that people would learn what it means to curse their former life and to curse all their works, that they might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of their own derived from works or law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We pray that gospel message would bear fruit for eternity. We pray that millions in this lost culture will be brought to a conviction of their sins by your Holy Spirit, and that you would raise up a mighty army of gospel preachers and pulpits all over this nation that will preach the freeness of grace again. And Lord, it is heartbreaking and discouraging to see the inroads that the LGBT revolutionaries and their incremental approach that they're using to try to destroy everything that's left of conservative Christianity in this country, and they're doing it with unbelievable speed and success. Lord, may we never have such utter hatred in our heart for you, such utter hatred in our heart for people lost in those kinds of sins as to affirm them in what will most certainly take them to hell. Help us to love them, to tell them the truth, that there's freedom from those things, there's liberation from those things, that there is nothing to be gained and everything to be lost from defining ourselves as a particular kind of sin. Help us to obey the word of God, to obey what your great apostle taught all Christians everywhere. We are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. Dead to sin. Not as being embodied by a sin, not as being controlled or dominated by a sin, but dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus. May that be the message of hope that is preached once again as it's been so silenced in this nation and darkness shrouds it. Father, we pray that you would bless the men in our midst here that feel a sense of calling to gospel ministry. Lord, may they not know an ounce of fear in their bodies or souls or the faces of men, but that they would be fearless proclaimers of the whole counsel of God and of the truth of the gospel. And may they recognize, along with all of our covenant children especially, that what Jesus taught us, that the world will hate you if you follow me, the world will despise your good, and they will call it evil. You will be called a bigot. You will be called a hater, just as our Christian forefathers in the 100s and 200s were known by pagan Rome as, quote, the haters of all mankind, end quote, because of their understanding of sin. Lord, forgive this generation that I'm part of that is such a bunch of traitors, turncoats, and cowards, who doesn't have any firmness in their convictions, is not willing to suffer reproach for the cause of truth and righteousness. Lord, give hearts of courage to the young people here. Help them to turn a deaf ear to the lies that are coming at them from every conceivable direction, and now, sadly, even from pulpits and ministers. That they would love truth and righteousness. That they would be willing to stand up and denounce it. That they would be willing to denounce sin, even if it costs them dearly, if it costs them their friends, if it costs them ridicule, mockings, insults, public beatings, imprisonments, yes, even our lives. Help us to stand firmly upon the truth and to know that those passages of scripture that we all know so well, blessed are you when you are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, those may become a lot more practical to us in the coming years. So help us to be firmly planted upon your word, immovable. Immovable by the winds of change that are blowing upon us. Help us not to be children tossed to and fro, as so much of the church is being tossed to and fro by those winds of doctrine. Help us to be firmly anchored, as your great apostle taught us in 1 Corinthians 15. We are to be immovable. Immovable from the gospel. Immovable from your law. Immovable from the truth. No matter how loud the voices are telling us we have to change, may we be committed to your truth always. So Lord, raise up men for gospel ministry. Raise up godly families with godly husbands and wives. Help the men here who are married to love their wives as Christ has loved the church, to make it their great passion to study their wives and to make them happy, to love them. And pray that the women here would love their husbands that are married. Pray, Lord, for all the future families that will come from all the young people here among us. May they have hearts that are united together in the gospel and build their lives upon the foundation of your truth always. Lord, we pray that you would give us each day our daily bread, and we thank you for providing for our needs as you do so faithfully. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive each of us of our many sins. And Lord, we are at the start of a new calendar year. May this year be really different. May it be the year that we push aside the ways that we waste time. May we push aside the things that distract us and the things that often fill our eyes and ears that shouldn't. And may our hearts and minds be filled with the truths of your word and our mouths be filled with your praise. We pray for opportunities to be faithful witnesses for the gospel, to love people, to tell them the truth, to be a warm and friendly presence in the lives of people around us, that they might know that you're real, that you still save and sanctify people. Well, we pray you would help us to be gracious and loving and forgiving towards others. May we remember that great parable that Jesus taught, that man who owed his master 10,000 talents begged for mercy, and the master canceled his debt, and then he wasn't even willing to forgive someone else a third of a day's wages. May we never be known as such. Help us not to be concerned so much with how we feel we've been wronged by others, but to focus more on how we ourselves have sinned against others. Lord, we pray for strength to withstand our temptations. When we're tempted, Lord, help us to see the way out that you always provide to us. We are never tempted beyond what we're able to bear. And help us to remember that your word commands us to flee from idolatry, to flee from it. Lord, the things that cause sin in our lives that we have control over, we are to cut them off and pluck them out, no matter how inconvenient it may be. Help us be willing to do that always, so that we would walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that we have. Lord, be with our civil magistrates and our government. We do pray you'd convict all of them, that they would have sleepless nights, considering the fact that on their watch, the murder of unborn children continues every day in this country. The blood of innocents is spilled everywhere, that we live in an ocean of it. We pray, Lord, that we would live to see abortion overthrown, outlawed, discarded from this nation and from this planet. We pray, Lord, for our civil magistrates, that they would have the courage to stand their ground against Obergefell v. Hodges and the legalization of what is, in fact, not marriage and never will be marriage, the lie of same-sex marriage. We pray we would live to see those unrighteous decrees overthrown. Father, we pray for our civil magistrates, that they would protect the church, that they would never dare to lay a finger upon your bride, that they would know how dangerous it is for them to do so. But Lord, if we are persecuted at some point, if it's made criminal to denounce homosexual sin and perversion, if it becomes criminal to proclaim the exclusive truth claims of Christ, that there is no salvation outside of him, that God does not hear, nor does he honor the prayers of anyone outside of Jesus Christ, Lord, may we be willing to stand up and pay that price, whatever it might be, knowing that we shall have a better resurrection. Lord, glorify yourself in our Sabbath day rest today. Help us to remember the Sabbath day. We live in a culture, and in a church culture, that has forgotten collectively the Sabbath. Help us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart, to see it not as a day you've taken from us, so we can't do the things that are fun for us or that we enjoy, but a day you've given to us as a great privilege. Help us to obey you, to make this a day of public and private worship the whole day. Accept so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. And Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified in our worship and praise. And we pray all of this in the name of him who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is 149 in your book of Psalms for singing. 149. Let's stand to sing hymn number 149.